Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How do romantic relationships affect a teenage girl's self-esteem and her vision for her own future? A new documentary by filmmaker Sujatha Dand follows five North Texas girls navigating the joys, sorrows, and dangers of dating and shows the vast range of outcomes possible for teens entering the coupled world for the first time. 17-year-old Aisha starts the film pregnant by the first boy she's had sex with. 18-year-old Bambi struggles with depression and self-mutilation as she mourns the loss of her latest relationship. And 18-year-old Liliana finds herself with few options for independence as the unwed mother of two small children. On the other hand, 17-year-old Valerie feels herself falling in love for the first time, but isn't sure she's ready for a serious relationship. And 16-year-old Kelly is in love with her boyfriend, but doesn't envision a life with him in the future. The film that explores their stories is called Boyfriends. It premieres tonight at 9 on KERA 13 television and can be viewed in its entirety anytime online at kera.org. Sujatha Dand is here now to talk about the project and its outreach efforts. Sujatha, welcome back to Think.
Thank you for having me.
I want to mention right now, we of course forgive us in our fundraising drive, and we do have a special challenge grant just for the 2 hours of Think today from the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Dallas. It is a $2,000 challenge grant. We only receive that extra money for the station if we get 100 contributions in the next 2 hours. The number is 1-800-456-5372. You can also get to us online at kera.org. Back down to business, or the other business. You know, Sujatha, we've seen so many documentaries about kids and sex. It seems like it's been covered. This one, though, although sex certainly plays into the project, strictly speaking, that's not what this is about.
No. In fact, when we kind of started working on the project, we wanted to do something relating to girls and mental health. And we talked about, you know, what is it that shapes the way a girl looks at herself? And in your teen years, relationships are very important, and specifically your relationship with your boyfriend. And so we thought it would be interesting to examine the ways girls choose to make those choices in their relationships and how that reflects on them and their long-term choices. And so we wanted to create a project that, instead of like focusing on, you know, did she use protection or not use protection, or kind of the discussion that you tend to see in the media, whether it's about sex and, you know, protection or abstinence only, about healthy relationships. I mean, what are the expectations a girl has when she goes into a relationship? What is the expectation she has of her boyfriend? And how does that impact, you know, the way she looks at herself and the choices she makes?
And why look specifically here at girls?
I think, you know, the thought was that while relationships certainly have impact girls and boys, that girls tend to see themselves as they tend to look at the way the relationship affects them and then make personal choices and judgments on them. In many of our stories, it was fascinating that the boys tended to continue to kind of go on their way and make decisions on their own without the girl's input. But the girl tended to rely on the boy for affirmation and you know, how this is going to impact me long term. And so I think, you know, there's definitely, you know, we talk about it amongst our friends and as women, you know, as teenagers, you wish for the fairy tale. You know, you're hoping that one day I'm going to, you know, possibly marry my boyfriend and, you know, we're going to live in a house and we're going to have two kids. And we forecast out over the course of 6 months, a year, if not a lifetime. And I think that those concerns play into the way reason why we decided to kind of focus on girls more than young men.
Your five subjects here really run the gamut in terms of what we, observing this from a distance, might imagine about the expectations for how this is all going to turn out. What's really fascinating, though, is that for the most part, at these ages, which seem very young to us, they are existing in a world where they're making a lot of big decisions outside of the realm of things that they would discuss with their parents.
Yeah, I think you think about teen love and we kind of roll our eyes and we think, oh, you know, it's puppy love and what does this really mean? And many of our girls make serious choices that impact their, in fact, I think all of our girls do. I mean, whether you choose to stay in a relationship or whether you choose to leave a relationship, it's going to have lifelong consequences. And I think that it's, you know, I think our teens in particular, the ones that deal with teen pregnancy and having children in a young relationship, those are things that they can't go back and change. You know, this is going to be now a part of their lives and is now going to implement and or impact all of their future choices.
And even without a pregnancy or sort of a devastating consequence, what did you learn about the patterns that tend to get set in early and mid-adolescence that affect for the rest of their lives the choices that these young women will make about the people they're going to associate with?
You know, we talked about, like, what is the long-term goal? Like, what do we want people to walk away with? And we were hoping that, an audience of teens and their parents could glean, depending on their own perspectives, information. And so when our teens make choices and make decisions that we weren't so, They weren't necessarily ones that, you know, as a society you would agree with.
You're not holding these girls up as examples.
No, not at all. But it was amazing how much kind of the basics play into all of this. When they had parents in their lives. And in one of our cases, it's actually kind of funny. Valerie's mom is around all the time. But that definitely impacted the way she makes positive decisions in her life. And not to say that there's not elements of, you know, there's concerns that come up and whether or not she should, you know, have sex in this relationship or not have sex in this relationship. But the consistencies of, you know, a parent being there and being there to talk to and being around and being aware of what's going on, the decision to wait on sex, and possibly the concept of having a future story for these girls really is what drives them in their early years and probably throughout their lifetimes to make better choices and better decisions.
Well, when you say future story, I think that's a fascinating element of this, because the thing above all else that seems to separate the girls that we really worry about from the ones that look like they're going to be fine is their time orientation. The ones who are focused on the future tend to make really different kinds of decisions than the ones who don't talk about that at all.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that was, you know, I walked into this project trying to be as non-judgmental as possible. You know, you meet these girls, they come from very different socioeconomic backgrounds and cultural backgrounds. And, but you start to realize, you know, the girls that definitely saw a future for themselves, that saw opportunities beyond high school or beyond their neighborhoods and thought about, you know, what do I want to be? Where do I want to go to college? And of course, all of that was shaped with great role modeling. They had parents that were very involved or worked with organizations that were definitely, supportive of their long-term goals versus, a situation where, you know, you very much live in the present. You know, when you are coming, one of our experts that we have talked to that has helped us with a lot of our outreach efforts said that in poverty, for instance, you tend not to see beyond your day-to-day survival.
You're just getting by.
And so the concept of going to college or what do I want to be is not really available to you. I mean, it may be something that you know to say, but it's not something that you live that's actually within you, you know? And so having a baby then becomes less of a, you know, as a teenager, becomes less of a, you know, obstacle to overcome. Instead, it's like, well, I'll have my baby and then I'll just keep moving along to the next step if you're even thinking that way. And really, it's just, you're just not even thinking that. It's, I'm just going to have a baby, period. And in some ways, it's also a transition to adulthood in poor communities. So, yeah, it was, I had to say, like, it was just crystal clear. To me, it was almost black and white. And I never tend to look at issues so simplistically. But bottom line is when girls had, you know, a future story, had something to look forward to, they made better decisions.
Do you think it's possible to give a future story to a girl who is already 18 and pregnant and trying to figure out where she's going to live?
I do. You know, many of the outreach organizations we worked with talked about how the best way to provide and help someone in that situation is to be a mentor, you know, and you can be a mentor very easily in anyone's life in terms of, you know, keeping up with them once a week. But they need to be able to see the possibilities. And it's not about talking down to them and creating a patronizing situation. It's really about one of my favorite examples that this poverty expert, her name is Ruby Payne, gave was she talked about buying a house. And she said that, you know, her husband came from a very poor background and she came from a middle class background. And so after being married 3 years, they were going to buy a house. And among his friends and family, there was this outward like, oh, you can't afford a house. They're going to come after you. And she said, no, you know, we checked our finances. And she said, you know, they bought the house and then they were able to keep up with the mortgage and had, you know, financially were capable. And then within literally, like 3 years, 3 to 5 years, many members of that community bought a house. And she said, had we had a classroom and we had invited them into this classroom and showed this on paper and said, this is why you should buy a house, nobody would have believed that. And she said, really, it was about being able to show them that this is possible and you can do this when you have the resources saved up. And so I think with teenagers in particular, I think it's all about showing them that there is a life beyond what they feel so insulated within.
Filmmaker Sujatha Dand is my guest. Her new documentary, Boyfriends, debuts tonight at 9 on KERA Television 13. You can also see it anytime at kera.org in its entirety.